namesake of mine, but we're no relation, Karen Stead, came to visit us in the studio. I think it's probably the third year that Karen's been in the month of November, because it's Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month, and Karen survived pancreatic cancer 7 years ago. And now she works very hard to raise awareness and money, and she's a big part of turning some of the buildings in West Yorkshire purple, which is the colour that the charities associated with pancreatic cancer use. You may remember, if you don't, pancreatic cancer has the lowest survival rate among all the major cancers. It's the only one with a single-digit five-year survival rate. I know sometimes numbers go in one ear and out the other, but only 2.9% of people who are diagnosed with pancreatic cancer survive beyond 5 years. I'm going to introduce you to a lady who knows only too well the devastation that the disease causes. She tragically lost her husband Malcolm to it 3 years ago. And today is World Pancreatic Cancer Day, and she's coming to talk to us. Gillian Simpson, good morning.
Good morning, Richard.
Thank you, Gillian. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to ask you to tell us your story, Gillian. And what is Malcolm's story, your story, and why you are here today?
I'm here today because it's important to let people know about the devastation this cancer can cause. Malcolm would have been 58 today, but he started to show signs of pancreatic cancer back in 2013. And having had diabetes, he was constantly being treated and reassessed for that illness, and pancreatic cancer wasn't even considered until 5 months after he displayed the symptoms. Then one GP sent him to a hospital for a scan, and then by that time it was stage 4 cancer, and he had no survival rate. Basically, he was told he would live between three months and 3 years. He underwent chemotherapy, but he was constantly ill. Dehydration, diarrhea, vomiting, some of the symptoms that you get, not just from chemotherapy, but from the cancer itself. And shortly after a number of illnesses related to the chemotherapy and the cancer, the consultant told him that there was no hope anymore and that he should plan for a good death. And that was approximately, well, it was exactly 3 years ago this week.
Right.
Within 2 days of him being told to plan for a good death, he died of a myocardial infarction. Hope I got that right. Because his body could no longer cope with the devastation that the cancer had caused on his body, on his organs, and in particularly on his heart. It was a hard day when that happened. You know, when someone has stage 4 cancer, that this is inevitably going to be the outcome. But you watch the man that you've loved for 34 years be reduced to a shadow. Where did it start? How did it start? Not certain. He had diabetes, which is one of the symptoms, but he also complained of lower back pain. He was nauseous. And for several months, it just wasn't picked up. But by then, it was too late.
And that's the tough... I mean, obviously, everything you've talked about there, devastation is the word that would summarise.
It is, yes.
But I think the reason you're here, the reason Karen does what she does, the reason we highlighted this on this programme, is that I think GPs maybe see one or two pancreatic cancer sufferers in their entire careers, and the symptoms are not easy, and it's all about the awareness, isn't it?
It is. GPs are general practitioners, that's what the name means, and you're so right, they see pancreatic cancer so rarely. And very often by the time they see such a patient, the disease has spread too far. The symptoms don't show, or the illness itself doesn't get worse until the symptoms are way on. One of the reasons I joined the charity that I do belong to, which is Pancreatic Cancer Action, is that they are keen to raise awareness, but also very keen to provide that educational background for primary care and for clinicians, so that they're aware that they can see these signs, and they produce packs and e-learning modules in order to put GPs in the know about the current state of affairs with pancreatic cancer. My background was education, and I felt that it was important that if we'd have known more and the GPs would have known more, perhaps Malcolm would have lived a little bit longer. But if we can't have that privilege, then others ought to have that, and that's what we should be striving for: early diagnosis through raising awareness and getting that knowledge out there to the public and to the GPs themselves.
And is that what drives you, the fact that by doing that you're hoping that even one person might not be where you are?
Shortly after Malcolm died, and I was involved in doing some fundraising and some awareness raising, I've spoken to one or two people with diabetes who panicked a little bit and said, oh, well, does this mean I've got it? And I said, no, it does not. But you just need to be aware of that diabetes is part of it, just one of the many symptoms. So giving out information, sharing that story, and having the privilege to meet people who have had contact with people who've had cancer or themselves have had cancer is absolutely amazing, because these people are fighting and their relatives are fighting to make sure that it doesn't happen to anyone else.
Does that help you, Gillian, that you mentioned the relatives, the fact that you can talk to people who have either been through what you've been through or are going through? Does that kind of help in any way?
Yes, because it does, because I'm a great believer that sometimes life gives you lessons that you learn from, but you can't stand still, you've got to move forward. And if anything I've learned from it can help anyone else, if I can share that knowledge and help one person find out for themselves whether they've got the illness or not, one way or the other, then that's been worthwhile. You know, if I can not put anybody else in the same position as me, that would be great. That would be my aim, to make sure that people don't go through what I've gone through. Obviously, you don't want your loved one to pass away from any cancer or from any illness. But if you can just stop one person or make one person question, do I have this? Should I check with the GP? Then that is a bonus, an absolute bonus.
I admire you for coming in and talking, especially when you say, you know, about birthdays and poignant days and anniversaries. That's real. You're a tough cookie, Gillian, so thanks for doing
Thank
that.
Thank you.
If you would like people to take away one thing from what you've said, you know, one important thing, a call to action, as it's kind of known, I guess, in this, what would it be that you would like people to take from this interview, to investigate, to do, to talk about what?
I would say to anyone who feels that they have any of the symptoms, that they don't just accept what they hear from the professionals. I'm not questioning the professionals, but say to them, ask the questions, do your own research, and challenge them and challenge yourself to find out more, so that you can be in charge of your health and educate others as well. So yes, it's challenge, don't accept what people say, find out more for yourself, and safeguard your own health.
Thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome, Richard, and thank you.
Thank you. That's Gillian Simpson, and today is World Pancreatic Cancer Day. You're listening to BBC Radio Leeds.